I'm pulling on my driveway. We all know what that means. It's time for the drive to work. Okay, so today I just got back from Las Vegas. So it is time to talk all about MagicCon Las Vegas 2026. I will say, MagicCons are always fun. I always look forward to them. But this one was a little bit special. Probably you'll know this by now, but in case you don't, in 1998, I made a game called Mood Swings. It took me 28 years to get it made, but it is getting made. And the event at which it sort of got its giant release was MagicCon Las Vegas. So I was very, very excited. So the original plan is we were going to have, we had a big panel planned, we had a talk planned, and we were doing an event every day where players for the very first time, it was called Secret Lair Redacted. We didn't even tell you what it was. The people signed up to come play a game I made without knowing the game, even though a lot of people guessed it was Mood Swings. And so that was the master plan. It was going to be the big reveal of Mood Swings. So I get there on Wednesday. So the show is Friday, Saturday, Sunday. But there's a lot of stuff we do now for the Black Lotus group on Thursday. So for me, it's really 4 days. But anyway, I get there on Wednesday. And I learn on Wednesday that the shipment of cards for Mood Swings is not arriving. Which was, to call a devastating blow, probably me underselling how upset I was. I was not happy about it. But, you know, the show must go on. So we met on Wednesday to figure out, okay, what do we do? So we did a bunch of things. One is we refunded everybody who was playing in the event. But we still had an event. So here's what we did. We promised to send everybody Mood Swings once it comes in. And then I had a big presentation. So the way it was supposed to work was that I would walk you through like how to play two-player games. Then all of you, the people here, your turn to play two-player games. Now I'll talk about how to play four-player games. Now all of you play four-player games. Now I teach you drafting. Now you all do drafting. Now I teach you team play. You all do team play. So the idea was I would teach them ways to play and then give them time to play. So what we did instead is, and we all, this was an audible, I did have a Mood Swing stick on me, which I had brought, what we call first offline. So when you print something, the printers print a little bit and then send it to you to make sure that you're happy with it. Like, is this what you want? Because if something's wrong, you want to stop it as soon as you can so you don't print everything, you know, you don't like print it all wrong. So anyway, we got a little bit first offline in. I can remember I had to check the collation and stuff. But anyway, I used some of those cards to make the cards for my demo deck that I did for the video and to make the deck for the panel, which I will get to. So the idea is I did have a Mood Swings deck on me. So what we would do is I would explain something, and then I would bring volunteers up on stage. So here's two-player play. A volunteer comes up, and they play me in a two-player game. Then I explain team four-player play. I invite up three people. We play a four-player game and such. And then after that, I did a Q&A where I answered questions about all about Mood Swings. And then I did a signing. Also, if you showed up at the event, you got a Mood Swings play mat, which were very nice. And you got some magic product. I think it was Mystery Booster, I think. But anyway, we figured that out on Wednesday. When I get to the events, I'll talk a little bit about them. So anyway, we get to Thursday. The very first thing I do on Thursday is I'm in a panel. So Scaff Elias, Brian Kibler, Michael Lecanto, and I, with Brian David Marshall as the moderator, talked all about the very first Pro Tour. It's 30 years since the very first Pro Tour. And Scaff and I, Scaff is the creator of the Pro Tour. And I was sort of his right-hand man, working very closely with him. Michael Lecanto obviously won the very first Pro Tour. Brian Kibler was in the juniors at the very first Pro Tour. So we all talked about the event and behind it and making it. And anyway, it was super fun. I think it was taped. Not 100% sure it's online, but it might be online. But it was a lot of fun. And I hadn't seen Michael Lecanto in ages. We had a good time. And then after that, I do lots of schmoozing in the Black Lotus room. signing things and taking pictures and such. Mostly, I played a lot of mood swings with people because I was the only one that had mood swings. So some of the first people ever to play mood swings outside the building were in the Black Lotus room on Thursday. Trying to think anything else I did on Thursday. I guess that's mostly my Thursday. I was originally supposed to have some tutorial sessions teaching people, but since we didn't have product, I wasn't able to do that. Okay, so let's get to the main event, Friday. So Friday, I had a packed Friday. I believe I was scheduled for 12 hours straight on Friday. I had a very full day. Okay, so first things first was, in the morning, for the Black Lotus, there's something called Coffee Chat, where we go and we talk with people and, sign things, take pictures and such and such. I did that in the morning. And then I had a bunch of, so Mood Swings was premiering, so I had a lot of press about Mood Swings. In fact, on Tuesday before the event, we had a giant press conference where we both went through the preview panel that I'm on, which I'll talk about, and I went through Mood Swings. It was like 60 plus reporters. It was all virtual. It's the way it works is you do that, and it's embargoed, meaning they don't report on it till the event happened and such. But anyway, we did that on Tuesday, and there were a lot of interviews lined up. So I did a lot of one-on-one interviews for Mood Swings. Usually I would teach them how to play, and then we'd walk through like sort of the story of the making of it, which is... So by the way, if you want to hear the history, there is another podcast where I walk through the history of Mood Swings. There's an article. Also, I did a live talk, which got taped, so... Infinite things to hear about if you want to hear about the history of Mood Swings. I'm talking plenty about it. But anyway, I did a bunch of interviews. But then it was time for my first panel, the preview panel. So the preview panel basically had three parts to it. Part number one was The Hobbit, of which I was not involved. Andy Sardellis and Nick, I forget Nick's last name, Andy and Nick were on. Jimmy Wong was the host. And... So he talked to them all about The Hobbit, and they showed lots of cards, just talked all about the cool things we're doing with The Hobbit, a lot of exciting things. It was fun. A lot of it was the visuals and the cards and everything. The second part was on Reality Fracture. Well, I led Reality Fracture. Maris was with me, Maris led the creative for it. And so we talked all about it. The audience didn't know much. I had teased a lot of exciting things, but we hadn't really talked about it. So on the panel, I talked about how the idea for the panel. So Maris started by explaining that Jace has, you know, saved the multiverse multiple times, but then he got Phyrexianized and it really did a number on him. And he really wanted to figure out a way to sort of, how does he prevent stuff like that from happening? Jace ends up creating a thing called the Echoverse. He's making his version of the multiverse where things go better, at least as he sees them. A world in which, you know, horrible things that happen don't happen. So I was talking about when we first were going to make the set. People have been asking me for a long time about making a what-if set. And so I was very excited to do a what-if set. But so before we have vision designed, before we have exploratory design, we have a thing called seeds meetings, where we sit down with all the different people and sort of walk through our general sense of what we think it's going to be. And so I talked about my desire for what if, that players really want to do a what if. And when I say what if, what I mean is more a creative what if. It's planar chaos in the creative side of it, not in the color pie. We're not messing with the color pie. We learn from planar chaos. So if Red Chandra becomes Blue Chandra, which we'll get to in a second, Blue Chandra does blue things, is in the blue color pie. Cards follow the color they're in. They use the tools of the color they're in. So anyway, I'm pitching this what if, and Aaron says, look, I understand how it would be really cool, and I really get how enfranchised players will just love it. He goes, but not everybody's an enfranchised player, and his problem was, so let's say, for example, we have Ice Chandra. He's like, well, why do you, if you don't know anything, why is that exciting to you? Like, if you don't know fire Chandra exists, if you don't know Chandra is a, you know, normally she uses fire, her using ice doesn't mean anything. And he's like, how do we even communicate what if? Because if you open up ice Chandra, well, okay, I guess this is somebody who makes ice. Like, if unless you, I mean, given, Chandra's a very, very popular character, one of the best known magic characters. But even then, not everybody knows Chandra. And it wasn't even Chandra. Maybe we can get away with doing Chandra. You know, there's a lot of characters that maybe you just don't know. This character's from 5 years ago, 10 years ago. Maybe you don't know the character. Not everybody knows every character. And so the challenge he gave me in Exploratory is, how do you communicate what if? In a single booster pack, how do you communicate what if in a way that is that everybody can understand? And so we came up with a really cool idea, which is, what if every time you open a booster pack, there's a pair of cards in the booster pack that show the same character, but different. So the rule was they had to be in different colors, and that it creatively had some oppositeness to them. So the example we showed off, we actually showed off, I think it was Chandra Torture Defiance. That's a reprint. Not, most of them aren't reprints, but they happen to be a reprint. And then, I forget the name of the blue one, but the blue one was a mirror of Torture Defiance. But the idea is, oh, you know, Chandra's kind of a hothead that uses fire. What if she wasn't? What if life had gone a little bit differently? What if her father hadn't died? What if he'd become part of the government, you know? And instead of her being a rebel against the government, she became a part of the government herself, you know? And the idea is, oh, Jay says, you know, Chandra, her being hothead caused a lot of problems. What if she wasn't? What if I made her life better and that she didn't have to go through all the things she had to go through? And so the idea is you open up your booster pack and you see normal red Chandra, but right next to it is blue Chandra. Now, I'm not going to really get into it, and we didn't in the panel. How to do that is a huge challenge. When it's time to do previews, I'll walk through that. It's a really interesting story, but not today's story. So anyway, we explained the pairs. We showed off the setting. So the setting for the story is Hexhaven, which is a mirrored sort of version of Strixhaven. When Strixhaven first appeared, everyone was like, oh, cool, enemy schools. So where are the ally schools? I'm like, well, we didn't build ally schools. We used everything up to make the enemy schools. So when we realized we were doing an alternate version of it, it's like, oh, here's the perfect opportunity. We can do the ally school. So each school keeps one of its colors. See if I can remember off the top of my head. The history school keeps white but adds blue. The math school keeps blue but adds black. The language school keeps black but adds red. The art school keeps red but adds green. And the science school keeps green but adds white. And anyway, we talked a little bit about the schools. I should stress, the schools are part of the backdrop. This isn't a faction set. We're not doing Strixhaven 2. We are making a nod to Strixhaven. And we did show off the headliner card, which is a card. It's the Emeritus, the blue Emeritus, but now done as a black card. And it's prepared spell because there are prepared spells. The one mechanical carryover, there are some prepared spells. We did a spell called Ancestral Craving. And it was an ancestral recall, except instead of drawing three cards in blue, you're paying three life and drawing three cards for one mana in black. And it sort of shows off the kind of what-if things that we can do. We also showed off another card, Stingcaster Mage, which is like Snapcaster Mage, but instead of being blue and having flash, it's red with haste. But everything else is the same. I remember... back in 2012, I had an answer on my blog where I talked about how I kind of always wanted Snapcaster Mage to have been red, not blue. So we have that chance. So I really go in deep about how one of the real fun things... Oh, I should mention, the pairs are only legendary creatures and or planeswalkers. Like, Stingcaster Mage exists, but there's no pair... Snapcaster Mage isn't anywhere to be seen. We do a lot of riffs in which it's the what-if riff and not the original. And the idea for those also was, even if you don't know it's a riff, the cards are really... should be cool and exciting on their own. So the way I like to say it is, if you're not super enfranchised, we're making a lot of cool cards you'll enjoy, and we'll have the pairs for you. But if you're not, okay, it's cool. But if you're a franchise player, everything is something. Like, there's about as many Easter eggs as any product's ever had. There's lots of Easter eggs. Everything is referring to something. It's really cool. And there's alternate versions of all sorts of things. So anyway, we talked about PlanarCast. And then it was time to talk about Marvel superheroes. So I get on stage. It's me and Jimmy. I was already on stage. Like Maris leaves, it's just me and Jimmy. And so I talk about how I did vision design for Marvel superheroes. I led the vision design. So I said, let's talk about Marvel superheroes vision design. And then I explained about designing all the different vision cards. Some of which we showed art, some of which we showed the actual card. There's a card in the main set, a common that we usually do that we like to show love on it. And this is us showing Vision and the Scarlet Witch. And then I said there is a jumpstart packet called Scarlet that's centered around around Wanda, the Scarlet Witch. And there's a card in it that shows both of them together. It's Vision and Wanda on one card. It's a creature card with both of them. Then I showed the Vision from the Avengers Commander deck. And he had... So one of his superpowers is that he can change his density so he can go through things. He can become intangible. But when he does it, they refer to it as phasing. So the card in the Commander deck has, he can phase out. And then I showed there's a rare card from the main, which is an artifact creature, and he can shoot a beam from his head, and he can change his density, and he has a computer mind, so it shows all those different things off. So anyway, I finished that, and then Jimmy says, oh, well, does anybody else have some thoughts on vision design? And then Paul Bettany, who plays the Vision, in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, walks out on stage, and then he and Jimmy talk a little bit, and then I reveal that we have the gauntlet, and then he comes and puts the Mind Stone, because the Mind Stone is in the set, on the gauntlet, and then I talk about the Mind Stone, and then the three of us walk off and we're done. So behind the scenes, real quick, so getting Paul Bettany was a huge get. We were very excited. Now, the thing is, we don't get a practice with him. He showed up right before the event, right before the panel, goes on and left right after. But we had sort of walked through what we're supposed to do. So it was a little, normally we practice everything. So most of the panel's like, okay, I've done this before. That one part was like, okay, I don't want to mess this up. So anyway, it was super exciting. And anyway, it was one of the bucket list of just opportunities of cool things that I've done. It was super fun. Okay, right after that panel was a panel for Mood Swings. So what we did is Hillary was the host, and then I had Colby, who did all the graphic design. He did the frames, he did the back, he did the logo, he did the box, along with Ari Zarilnik, Colby Nichols. Ari Zarilnik, who did the art, and he was on my design team. He probably playtested me more than anybody else. And then Corey Bowen, who was sort of my play designer, who did all the balancing. So the five of us were on stage. We spent about half the time walking through, talking about how the game got made, and I explained how the game worked. But then the second half, we actually played some games. So first, Ari and Colby played each other. Colby managed to beat Ari. And then we invited some up from the audience to play me. So I won the first game, but we played a second game, and they beat me in the third game. So we showed off the game. It was very fun, and gave a chance for people to actually... We really wanted them to see the gameplay. One of the things about Mood Swings is it's a pretty simple game, so we wanted people to sort of get the idea of what's going on. Also, when the person was playing me, Corey was advising her, so she had someone to help her play me. Okay, then after that, it was time for our first Mood Swings event. I think I had an interview. I think I didn't interview. I had a lot of interviews sprinkled through the day. And then we did the event. The event was very fun. There's a few wrinkles we figured out. The table, for example, was positioned so in the team games, two people had to stand and play standing. And we were able to rotate it for the next two so that they could be sitting and stuff. And as we went along, we started sort of forming and figuring out how we wanted to do things. But anyway, it was super fun. After that... Then I did interviews. I did a bunch more interviews. I did a lot of playing Mood Swings. Oh, also, because of the panels, that event... Actually, I didn't do any more interviews. That event went till 8 or 9. So that was a long day. So on Saturday, more schmoozing in the Black Lotus Lounge, more interviews. I did a lot of interviews on Saturday. I played a lot with a lot of different reporters. I was so psyched that almost every reporter was like, and how can I get this? They really had fun. And then on Saturday, I'm trying to think, we had another event in the afternoon. And like I said, each time we did it, we figured some more stuff out. So basically what it was is I had made a slideshow walking through. I first explained, I did a brief history, which was a short version of my story of making it. Then I did explain two-player play. Then I explained four-player play. Then I explained how to draft, or one of the ways to draft. And then I explained how to do team play. I explained both ways to do. There's two team versions that we have. Anyway, if you're interested in any of these, when you get your mood swings on the back of the or you could Google it. There is a mood swings page. If you Google mood swings secret lair, there's a web page for that. And on the web page, it links you to my introduction article. It links you to the card gallery. It can link you to the card FAQ that shows you what all the cards do if you have any questions about things. It shows other ways to play. It shows the extended rules if you want to really dig in deep and see vocabulary and has anatomy of a card and stuff. So all that stuff is there if you want to get there. And a lot of the other ways to play, that stuff is there. I just sort of walked through the other ways to play. And then also, the Q&A was really fun. It was really interesting to see. It's funny because I did a Q&A every day, and some questions showed up every day. Like, you know, what happens if you make more cards? Are there enough names? I'm like, well, I have 500 names so far, and you know, there's ability to make more names. And at some point, I could use what we call adjective technology, which is if I use up all the names, then I can start making, you know, instead of Fury, it's Wild Fury or stuff like that. I can use adjectives. Anyway. And they asked a lot about the making of it, and there's a lot of talk of what else I want to do with it. And the caveat I had to explain is, look, I have a lot, I have more cards, I've made more cards, I have lots of ideas, but it all depends upon it being popular enough that people want it. That if it doesn't sell well, that will be the last we do of Mood Swings. But if people buy it and people like it, there's more we can do. I also explained in that thing, by the way, which is, if it sells great, if it sells out quickly, we have plans to make another one. Like, this is first edition. It has a first edition stamp on it. We have plans to make the next edition, provided that it sells well. Obviously, if not enough people buy it, then we're not going to do more. But I will promise everybody that if this thing sells out, we're planning to make more. This is not like, oh, if you missed it, that's it. You're never going to get a Mood Swings. If the thing sells really well, we will make more. The idea is that we're trying to sell a game. It's a little bit different from other Secret Lair things. We're trying to get as many people as possible who want to get the game to get the game. And that, it is, anyway, it's a little bit different. Okay, which brings us, anything else on Saturday? I'm trying to think. I think what mostly Saturday was the event and doing a lot of interviews. Sunday, the one other thing I did on Thursday, I forgot, I mentioned this on Thursday. I have a talk that I did Sunday, which I'll get to in a second. On Thursday, I recorded that talk so that it could be streamed live. For the first time, if you weren't able to make it to the event, we did things streamed so you could watch live streaming the thing. So the panels were streamed, and I recorded my talk so it could be streamed on Saturday. So if you guys were watching the stream, you might have seen my talk on Saturday. I then did it on Sunday live. The other thing, by the way, that went on real quickly, the other thing that was eating up a lot of my time, so the product did not arrive, but we did have some first offline product at the office. So I talked to my producer, she sent all of it, Aaron Forsyth actually brought it to me because he traveled later than I did. And so we had a limited amount, but we were like, okay, we're going to maximize this. Some of it went to demoing. We did a bunch of demoing there. Like, you went to Creator Central, there are people demoing it every day. Some of it went to PR because we were doing all the interviews. And some of it went to influencers. Because we had so little product, and one of the challenges is the whole reason we were printing a whole bunch of product is Mood Swings is what we call the word of mouth. You know, like, the way you market it is the game is really good. It's super fun. So how do you get people excited? We'll let people play it ahead of time, and then they go, ooh, this is really fun, and they share it with their friends. And so, because that didn't happen, because the decks didn't show up, having, you know, made Magic for a long time, I've interacted with a lot of influencers, and so a lot of them are friends, and so I went to them all, and I said, please, 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 can you make some Mood Swings, you know, can you, and all of them were very excited, and so hopefully in the upcoming weeks, you will see a lot of different people doing Mood Swings, but I had to spend some of my time finding them all and getting them decks, And I had someone named Sam who's helping me. And anyway, making sure that as many influencers, I mean, as we at Dex, could get there. Also, by the way, after I would finish at night, I would play Mood Swings in the Lobby with people at the hotel lobby. And I would try to get as many people trying to spread the word. Corey and Ari both had Dex, and so they... That's another thing they were doing is they were demoing the whole... Anyway, we were doing everything we can to try to do word of mouth with a small number of decks. Way less than we were supposed to have. Okay, so on Sunday, I think I did an interview. I did an interview Sunday morning, and then it was time for my talk. So if you guys ever know... they're always online, and this one will be online. Normally, I talk about the 20 greatest mechanics in Magic, 20 worst mechanics in Magic. Here's... 30 pictures from 30 years of Magic, like things in which I do a lot of number things, but it's just me talking about some aspect of Magic, and it's just sharing stories and stuff. I mean, I've been doing this forever, so I have a lot of stories, and the joke is I have a lot of slides. In fact, the longer I work on something, usually the more slides I get. This talk had 816 slides, I believe. So anyway, this talk was about, I made Mood Swings in 1998. It came out in 2026. That is 28 years. And so the story really is me trying to get Mood Swings made. And when I say trying, Aaron Forsyth, who's my boss, the quote of his that I used all weekend is, he said that persistence is my superpower, that I do not give up. And so I really walked through all the different things I tried. It was really interesting. Colby, the one who did my the frames and stuff, actually was in the audience and watched the talk. And he was really moved after. He sent me a really nice note about how, like, he knew it's one thing to say, oh, I've been trying to make it for 28 years. It's another thing, like, let me document all the different things I tried. And it is, one of the reasons I wanted to do the talk is, it is impressive. I tried a lot of things. It went through a lot. I mean, anyway, it's a good talk. It's hard for me to calculate it here. One of the nice things about the actual on a Sunday is there's a point at the end where I got pretty emotional. I mean, like I said, the thing I pointed out is, you know, there's a lot, even though I never gave up hope, I guess, there was definitely points in the time. It's hard to be 20 plus years in and go, and not think a little bit, maybe this won't happen, right? You know, not that I ever stopped trying, but there definitely was, and even when they greenlit, even when they said, yes, we're making Mood Swings, part of me was like, you know, well, you know, yeah, they're saying they're going to make it, but maybe something happens and it doesn't get made. You're like, there still was part of me that said, well, it wasn't until, like, I remember we got the first offline and I held it in my hands and I'm like, okay, maybe we're making this product. I'm physically holding it. And this weekend was super fun. The talk went really well. After my talk, we had the last of the Mood Swings panels. And then after that, I had a meet and greet. Normally I do a bunch of meet and greets. I did do signings at all of my Mood Swings things. So, I mean, those were kind of a meet and greet, but I only did one general meet and greet outside of the Mood Swings. I mean, and I did some meet and greets in the Black Lotus room. But anyway, it is hard. This weekend, so my joke was that this Magic Con was itself full of mood swings, high highs, low lows. I mean, I will not exaggerate. When I found out on Wednesday that the product wasn't going to be there, it really sinked me. I was looked so excited. And a big part of it is I wanted to see everybody play, and I wanted to create a little bit of phenomenon of everybody talking about mood swings, and that's really hard when you don't, like, when you can put mood swings in people's hands and everyone's playing. Anyway, That might be the low lows, but we pivoted so well. The weekend went great. Everybody I demoed with really enjoyed it. All the reporters really enjoyed it. The panel went great. All the individual things, even though we had an audible, went great. The talk went amazing. So I really did have a very, it is my best Magic Con to date. Now, probably because it was a little more personal, although... All Magic Cons are personal. I make a lot of magic. But this one in Mood Swings is just, it's a little bit different. I mean, I love magic to death. And obviously, this year. I led to a, I have Marvel superheroes in which I'm a giant, like I'm a giant Marvel fan. The fact to work on my, one of my favorite of all time brands, making magic with it, was itself a bucket list. I'm so excited. And I'm, you'll be hearing me talk endlessly about Marvel probably pretty soon. And reality fracture, like the way I try to explain reality fracture is, it's my job as team to sort of swing for the fences. And most of the time, they pull back a bit. Like, right, Vision wants to do the craziest thing we can do, and the set design does like the little, you know, the more, the slightly saner version of the crazy idea we have. And this set is like, no, we swung for the fences, we're going for the fences. Like, this was a wild, the vision was wild, and Jan, who did set design, he and his team, they're like, that's what we're doing, and they full throttle did it, and it is an amazing set. So, I mean, like, the funny thing is, in any year, if, you know, Marvel Superheroes easily would have been my favorite set of any year. Reality Fracture would have been my favorite set of any year. And neither of those is my favorite thing of the year, because the set I've been trying to make for 28 years finally got made. So this is a high. So this, I got to talk about Marvel with Paul Bettany, and I got to talk about Reality Fracture the first time, and I got to do Infinite Mood Swing. So this was quite the Magicon. If you, they taped the Mood Swings panel. I don't know whether that's going up or not. It might, I don't know. I do know my talk will go up. I'm not sure. I recorded two versions. I kind of hope they do the version that was in the room on Sunday. But both of them went well, but I like that one slightly better. But anyway, so that will be up online. I don't know if it's up yet, but it'll be up online. So anyway, I will say I've never been more exhausted at any MagicCon, and I'm normally exhausted at MagicCons. I'm normally tired. I remember Friday, I think I came, I had dinner with some friends, and then I like literally go, I have to go to bed. I'm going to fall over. They were joking that like I was a zombie at dinner, and so I had an amazing time. MagicCons are always amazing. If you've never been to a MagicCon, they keep getting bigger. It's hard to wrap around how amazing MagicCons have become and how fun they are. So if you've never been to a MagicCon, I heartily urge you to try one. This one was an emotional high, like something I will always remember. This was a true high point. That is MagicCon 2026. It was quite the event. Anyway, I hope you guys enjoyed my story, but I'm at work, so we all know what that means. That means instead of talking magic, it's time for me to be making magic. So I'll see you all next time. Bye-bye.